Not the good ass
mouth. Mouth.
Mouth.
Deepest throat.
That mouth ain't going nowhere. Yikes. Yikes.
This is like when
I put the whole dick and the balls in my mouth.
Yo, what's good? It's your boy, Salpri706, anti-Illuminati wizard on Twitter. This is KTSDF. We have our illustrious host on this omnipotent podcast. We have Tribbles. Unfortunately, we have Jif Queen on because she's going to say something wild. You already know what it is. And then we have Marcus Sniffer, our regular host. What's good, yo? How was the pandemic treating everybody?
Pandemic was going pretty good, you know. Price is still going up, so money not stopping in the pandemic.
There we go. Pandemic. Yeah, I mean, pandemic. Getting these racks. These riggedy racks. Jif, what's happening?
I finally got paid. Finally got cleared of unemployment fraud after 2 months. 2 months.
You moved to Atlanta and the first thing you do is scam?
Bruh. Man, let me tell you something. This unemployment shit is crazy. Ain't no scamming going on over this way.
The hell?
This coming with some R&B music. What in the world?
The man had that Rick James
bumping.
Did you just come off a sex session, sir?
Could you cut that off so we don't get removed from Apple Podcasts, please, sir? Thank you.
Who is WAP MVP? I mean, WAP BP.
Who the fuck do you think it is?
Oh, shit.
I don't know, but the cursing is unnecessary. Anyway, hi, welcome to the podcast.
Yes, how is the pandemic treating you, Mr. Savage? I know you've almost
doing good. I lost 30 pounds.
Come on now, I'm down 28. Let's go. Man.
Yes, you know, I got to get out here. We were supposed to go hiking, but you stood me up like you always do.
Hey, listen, calling me out on the pod. Listen, we're going to go hiking.
Definitely flaked on me.
You got to pick me up. I need a starter. So if you're listening to the podcast, follow me on Twitter. Donate to my Cash App so I can buy a starter. So me and Savage can go hike, chase the mountain.
Marcus, what's good?
But the pandemic is still going on, if you guys haven't noticed. So I know people are kind of just going about their regular lives and their regular business, but it's still happening. There's no cure yet. No vaccine yet. So mask up, wash your hands, all that good stuff. Or keep doing that. That'd be great. I haven't been to Waffle House in almost 7 months.
Oh, well, if you didn't know, Waffle House does sell their waffle batter, and if you refrigerate it and seal it, it tastes just as good a week later. So shout out to Waffle House.
I got like
20 pounds worth of Waffle House like batter in my house right now. It's out of control. I got bricks.
I need to see that cook that I know that's got a felony back there flipping that waffle over. I need to see that. It comes with the entire package.
I do too, but unfortunately they don't they don't reach out to the bando that I'm saying it right now. But anywho, this week's episode is going to be very interesting. There's a lot been going on. You know, I'm feeling very vindicated right now with a lot of things that are going on in the media with specific artists. But we'll get to that later. But we have one of our music experts on Tribbles to discuss a couple of things going on with your man Kanye to the Chi-Town, what's going on, the MAGA man, Mr. Red Hat. I don't know if he's running for president anymore. I know he's beefing with record labels. Like, I've never seen a celebrity that's been just so all over the place and not like have the benefit of dropping music with all this attention. So I'm very confused. But he did release some contracts online that the Tribbles said that a lot of these young artists should be taking advantage of.
Absolutely. So I think, like, first off, I mean, do I believe Kanye West is crazy? It's a toss up, you know. It's a lot of things going on. So I think a lot of it is projection from him, from his stake. But regardless of who the fuck said it, we have a legitimate, like, multiple contracts or multiple things pertaining to a music contract. Like this contract that we hear that people get fucked over. Lauryn Hill can't play the original Miss Education Lauryn Hill because of this piece of paper. And here we have Kanye West in one of his like sporadic moments give us a major key. Like, if you are a rapper, you are a singer, you are a saxophone player, you want to be the next music executive, you need to have your face in those pages trying to understand the language, and especially if you're, say, you're for the culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think this, I think if we take the messenger away, Kanye really gave us a lot on Twitter, in that Twitter rant. So
I agree with that. I mean, with Kanye, it's kind of easy to dismiss his rants as being crazy. But if you look at some of the things that he said, if Jay-Z were to say those same things, but not as sporadic as the way Kanye does, people would be saying the same thing. They'd be like, oh man, Jay's out here dropping jewels. Y'all need to pay attention. Like, he's putting out, you know, dropping knowledge and stuff that people need to know. But because it's Kanye West, he has the red hat, he's, you know, the blonde hair, the reality star wife, like all these different things, people tend to ignore. Like, I saw people, I didn't even see the tweets when it was happening, but I saw the responses to it, and people were like, oh, Kanye's off his meds again. Oh, Kanye's going crazy again. So I was like, let me go check out, see what he said. And I'm looking at some of the stuff, and I'm like, oh, this is pretty informative. This is kind of helpful. These are things that, as you know, if you're someone that's a creative, if you want to like own your own art, like, he's one of the people that needs to be in the forefront saying that, because this guy's he's got like 20 plus Grammys. He sold millions upon millions of records, and he still doesn't have like his own masters. You know what I'm saying? Like, he still doesn't have access to certain things, and that's Kanye West. Like, he can't even get in the room. Like, that's a big deal. Like, we got to start looking at these record labels at some point.
Well, let's take a pause on the whole Grammy thing. Did we all see that video of Kanye West like pissing on his Grammy? Like, that's got to be in the top. As wild as 2020 has been, I would say that's probably top 50, because there's a couple of more wilder things I've seen go on. But bruh, this dude literally took something that like every artist covets. Like, artists are literally out here selling their souls to bad contracts just to win a Grammy. And this dude is literally pissing on a Grammy in a toilet. Like, bro.
In his own Yeezy shoe.
That's crazy.
But didn't Drake do the same thing at the Grammys when he finally won one? He took that moment to be up there and be like, hey, this isn't the most important thing. You know, it's about your fans, it's about your music, your art, or whatever it is that you're doing. Like, this award doesn't validate me as an artist. It's what the fans say. So in a sense, essentially, Drake and Kanye are saying the same thing. It's just Kanye's doing it in a Kanye way.
But I think the approach we never really look at is like, these niggas, these entertainers want money. A Grammy, your price go up. You got a Grammy, a nominated. Imagine if you win the fucking award. That price is going up. That show money going up. And if I'm in a bad fucking deal already, that I have to do these loopholes to get to my money, hell yeah, I'm gonna sell out for a goddamn Grammy. So it's, I think regardless of Drake getting up there, Kanye pissing on Grammys, Jay-Z and Beyonce saying fuck the Grammys, like, people are still going to do these things to get Grammys. But because it means to a lot of these artists, it means money. It means access to the money that they were promised in these bad fucking deals.
Definitely. Yeah, I wonder if, I mean, it already has kind of shifted as far as artists shifting away from big contracts. But if anybody out here is listening to this podcast and wants to sign us to a bad deal, as long as it starts with seven figures, that's cool. We will be podcast slaves for the next 46 years. You can own our masters. I might even sell the rights to my firstborn child, you know what I'm saying, to get this paper. You know what I'm saying? I need a Bugatti. So if you're listening out there and want to sponsor us, you know what I'm saying, holler at me. I will sell my soul. Maybe
every now and again, I throw a pro MAGA tweet out there just to see if someone slides in the DM talking about, hey, brother, would you like to make a little extra money? Because I will be there.
That second Trump trick is short, nigga. So everybody would do it. You triple put a little MAGA post. No MAGA.
Oh, man. If my tweet shades instantly, you already know what it is. But yeah, I think it is interesting that Ye is kind of low-key giving away games. So if you're out there looking to get into the game, you know what I'm saying, you got to take the gems with the bullshit. Like,
I think it's wild that people are like on the side of the record label. So like, there's a, I saw a lot of people kind of tweeting like
the messenger, like when everyone realized that we're all the 99% celebrities included, then we'll all fucking change all this shit. But the fact that people think that these billion-dollar corporations are giving this nigga 10 million, you made me 10 billion for last year, but I'm going to give you 10 million of that. And now you're supposed to be better than the nigga that got $10,000 from their billion-dollar corporation. Like, what the fuck? We're all getting fucked. We're all getting fucked.
I just don't understand I don't understand the idea of like artists, like even the idea of a record label saying like, hey, we're going to give you this record deal, but we're going to keep your masters. Like that's where we're starting at. Like off the rip, you will not get your masters. And it's like, I don't even know why that's even a thing that they can do or that they offer. And people are just like, well, that's part of the game. You know what I'm saying? Like at some point, like hopefully this is something that happens. Like this is the catalyst that kind of changes things to where record labels, record companies don't feel comfortable going to, you know, some 22-year-old kid out of, you know, South Atlanta that ain't ever had shit. And they're like, hey, man, we know you got 2 million followers on SoundCloud. Here's 500,000 cash up front, but we're going to own your rights for the next 30 years. You got to give us 6 albums. We own your masters. And he's just like, hey, man, I got 2 kids. My mama, you know, just got her lights cut off. I need that $500,000, so I'm just going to sign this deal and take it. And now he's screwed for life. Like,
also, I mean, I think what we have to notice, one thing that I noticed through it is like, you have people like Kanye that are just like anti the contract, like get your masters on your shit. And you have people like The Dream recently go sell majority of his publishing to yet another white owned company. So it's like, to me, it's a weird standard in the industry, because you have some people, and I can't think of the name, but it was another notable producer that went and sold their catalog to someone else. So it's just like, we got the one side basically saying like, hey, I want it. And then you got the other side like, well, hey, you giving me the money for it, take it. Do what you do with it.
I'm completely fine. Like if an artist is just like, hey, these are my masters, I'm going to sell them to the highest bidder, I'm totally cool with that. Like, that's no problem, because you're the artist and you're giving up your rights to your work. So I'm cool with that. But just as a negotiation tactic, like, hey, this is where we're starting at. You're giving up your masters if you want to get signed to any record label. You know what I'm saying? Like, that just does. I mean, like, how many artists own their masters? Like, honestly, can you name like more than 5?
Not many, and literally everyone that owns them went through a loophole and or they lost their lives behind it. Like, I chuckle, but it's the truth. Like, it's the truth. Like, the couple of ones that do have them, it's a conspiracy. Why is it when you find out a celebrity has their masters, you know, you see those tweets like, we got to protect them or be careful. It's like, you barely want to give them to me. Like, Jay-Z had to go be the president of Def Jam, go find some other shit and finagle his way out to leave with his master. Like, he wasn't even supposed to do it. Like he found a legal loophole. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it wasn't even easy for, I guess, a person that we consider one of the most influential rappers right now. Like, Jay-Z.
His caliber.
Right. He preaches freedom and liberty. But, I mean, if we're going to keep it a bean, he had to do some backflips to get the fuck out of that deal, too. So I understand Jay-Z's not going to come out and defend Kanye West, but I was looking for more artists and more producers to stand behind the message. I like when Hit-Boy came out and said, look, I don't fuck with Kanye as a person, but Kanye's telling the truth. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was looking for more of those stories. And like Marcus said, we got everyone sitting on the side of the label or sitting on the side of, oh, Kanye is just fucking crazy.
It also goes to that thing, like in sports, when a player wants to renegotiate his contract, but he's still got like 2 years on his deal, and fans are just like, well, you need to honor your deal, honor your contract. You signed that contract, you need to stick with it. But when a team cuts a player after he gets injured, when he has 3 years left on his contract, those same people are silent. They don't have anything to say because they side with management, even though they are not management. You are a player. Wherever you work at, you're probably just like a player, the way you're treated.
Facts.
So I looked up real quick. There are 12 artists that own their masters. Well, okay, she doesn't. Well, Taylor Swift, she finally now, she owns all her masters post 2018. She's in a current fight.
How long has she been making music?
Because she's in a current fight to get all the rest of her masters. But 2018 and up, she owns her masters. Jay-Z, Rihanna, Frank Ocean, Iggy Azalea, U2, Ciara, Metallica, 21 Savage, Chance the Rapper, LL Cool J, Stevie Wonder.
Oof, that's a good one to have. Stevie's Masters, that's what you want to have right there.
Yeah, Stevie getting banged. But I think, I will say I'm shocked to hear some of the newer artists, especially Chance the Rapper, because I felt like with that Apple deal, when we got the mixtape streaming, he was definitely doing some like finagling shit and they was going to get something in return. So,
well, I mean, for Taylor Swift to only own her masters up to 2018, but she's released, she's been releasing music since 2006.
So she doesn't own any of that from 2006 to 2018.
Yeah, so she has 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 albums that came out before 2018. And most of those albums are the ones that really got her on. Like, those are the ones with her big pop hits and the ones that won Grammys. So, yeah, it's cool that you got your masters for your last two albums that are fairly new, but these ain't the big ones. These ain't the ones you want. Like Red, you don't own Red is like her most popular album, I believe.
Yeah.
So that was like a Target exclusive, nigga. Like
that made a lot of money.
You know how much money you got to bring in to be a Target exclusive, nigga?
Yo, 1989, she don't own that. Fearless, I'm happy she's got these last two albums, but yeah, she ain't getting them other ones. And that's sad. It's sad that she can't get her own work.
Well, for the record, I've never heard a single Taylor Swift album. Shout out to the Wash YouTuber, KJ. He said, never forget Jay-Z sold out Kanye, then dropped Entrepreneurship some years later with Pharrell, a man who cheated Khalees out of her check. Somebody said that Jay-Z was Birdman with the pen game. So, I mean.
Listen, I'm not going to take the slander lightly. I do agree with that comment. That was like a horrible thought process went into that song, like knowing their history, especially because the Khalees story like really heightened itself this year, even though it's been a long ass year, but it was early in like January, late February where the story came out like that she basically didn't get paid during her time, like her height with the Neptunes.
Facts. Well, the other reason I want to have Tribbles on here is that there was some very, very heartbreaking news that came out this week that our queen, our savior, our matriarch, is that the word? Yes. Queen Cardi, her and Mr. Set have decided to call it quits for, like, I don't know, the third or fourth time. Apparently, Mr. Set has been dropping off penis to other women consistently before the marriage. Probably during their very short courtship. And it's unfortunate that she drops WAP and just the lyrics in it just preach so much women empowerment, talking about she don't cook, she doesn't clean, but she damn sure got a ring. And now it is apparent that WAP cannot keep your man from dropping off dick to other women's houses. I would like to say, as the king of the Cardi B stan account, is that guys need to be very kind in these tough times, as she should have an album dropping soon. Hopefully it reaches the top, the height of heights. And I just want to say I'm here to support her. But I would also like to play some audio from a podcast about a year ago.
Did you have the consent to play?
And that's the great thing about being your own podcast. You can play your own content and not get pulled out. So let's get this popping. Let's listen to these words of the wise Cardi B, our queen, our moral compass, the role model for the babies.
I wake up in the mirror sometimes. I'll be like, God damn, I look fucked up. It's okay though, because I got good pussy. He ain't going nowhere.
Nowhere.
He ain't going nowhere. That was just good ass pussy. Oh, this good ass
mouth. Mouth.
Mouth.
Deepest throat.
That mouth ain't going nowhere. Yikes. Yikes.
This is like
when I put the whole dick and the balls in my mouth.
That dangly thing.
That these bad bitches can't do that.
You sure? You sure? Are you sure, Cardi?
So I believe that's like after the second, third time this dude got caught cheating.
I think that was like the PlayStation text message one. Damn, so that has like a list of cheating times that the public knows about. But imagine what the fuck we don't know about.
So I'm gonna find a little bit more audio. Y'all kind of opine on what do you think about Miss B and Mr. Sets.
Can I jump out the gate? Because I gotta leave. I'm gonna jump out the gate with a conspiracy theory. Like, so I sat with it and I tweeted them out a couple of days ago. I tweeted like two options out, and then I had to like retract the statement. I'm thinking that this could have all been pre-planned. Like the wedding, the divorce, like when they got married, they probably signed the same paper, which, you know, how long they would last divorce. I mean, before they would divorce. I don't know. My whole thing is like, he's been cheating. Like, why leave? I guess, why leave now in the fourth? I think they've been married, 4 years? So why leave in the fourth or third year? Like, why are we leaving in the third year when he was cheating in year one, in year two? Like, I guess for me, I'm just not understanding why now. Like what he's been doing for a minute. He was doing it before. He was doing, you know what I'm saying? Like, a nigga ain't gonna change. So either, and to be honest, I kind of hate that they're divorced, and let me say, I hate that they're divorcing because I feel like they could have set their own boundaries within their own relationship. Like, we know of public celebrity couples that are open and they seem project to be happy. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm happy for Cardi because she's getting away from a fuck nigga and she's gonna be fuck nigga free until she chooses the next fuck nigga, until she finds the right nigga. But I'm also like, bro, if y'all would have both cheat on each other, y'all would have just made that be a part of your marriage. Like, who are we as fans and outsiders to define what your marriage looks like? You know what I'm saying? Like, at the end of the day, it's something that's going on in your marriage that's not going on in mine. It doesn't make your marriage wrong. It just doesn't work in my fucking relationship. So I'm just looking at it like, this nigga been cheating. What changes now? Like, you could have really just set it up so that he would cheat. Stop him from having babies with other bitches, but he could cheat. Why him cheating? Why should that matter to you? If you're okay with it, or if you found your peace with it and you doing your own thing on the side too, what is our opinion on this podcast? Define that. Like, why are you running to the courthouse on a Tuesday out of all fucking days? Like, Tuesday, Wednesday, you just randomly run to the courthouse like, yeah, I want to divorce this nigga because he cheated on me?
So let me ask you this. And me and Adolphus talked about this and questioning the time period. Like, when's the last time Offset brought a bag to the house? You know what I'm saying?
Well,
Offset's been at home with dirty socks on playing 2K, maybe cleaning some diapers up. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Cardi B, all of Cardi B's money is tied up in like legal suits. Like, she has money, but she can't touch it. So them lights getting paid and all that, that's probably Offset. That's not saying Cardi don't have no bag or she don't have money in her bank account, but the bulk of the money that we see with her success and her endorsement, like, well, maybe not the endorsement deal money, but definitely that music money, she can't touch that.
Well, real quick before Marcus goes, let's hear words from her mouth via the Hip Hop Junkie, some website. I think she did a live or something like that. Hold on.
I've been seeing all the love and prayers and everything that you guys been sending me, and I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you so much. However, like, I don't really need it. Like, I'm okay. I want to let y'all know I have not shed not one tear.
Cap.
You know, every single time, you know, this guy has done something so crazy, so fucked up, and it hits the media, I'm always crying, I'm always stressed out, I'm sad because I don't like that type of shit. This time, I wasn't crying. You want to know why? Because it wasn't, the reason of my divorce is not because of none of that shit that ever happened before. It's not because of cheating. I'm seeing people like, oh, he has a baby on the way. That's a whole fucking complete lie. There's like the second time that people's trying to pin babies over here. No, that's bullshit. I just got tired of fucking arguing. I got tired of not seeing things eye to eye. So before, when you feel like it's just not the same anymore, before you actually get cheated on, I'd rather just leave. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm tired of people saying that I'm paying.
What happened the other three times?
Just because I get along with bloggers and the bloggers that I get along with, if they ask me a question, because there has been so much rumors going around, why is the reason? If they ask me a question and I answer them, that's not them paying. That's not me paying them. I'm giving them an honest answer. So they're going to tell their platform the answer. I'm tired of people saying, oh, sources said this, sources close to Cardi, sources close to Offset. That is a lie. Because why have these sources didn't say nothing a couple of days before I wanted to get a divorce? Now y'all want to say something after it comes out. That's not true. And another thing is, I don't talk to people. I'm only around my family. I don't
talk. Are you going to play the whole thing? Or?
Yeah, I was just trying to see if she said anything of any substance, but she clearly didn't like it. I mean,
my conspiracy theory is true then. Because it's not cheating. This was pre-planned. Just like, I really, like in my heart to hearts, I just believe that the trajectory for Cardi B was so high. And though culture is a blessing, I believe that it was probably an accident and they needed to clean it up. Because as soon as we found out Cardi B was pregnant, next thing you know, Offset and Cardi B are in like Vogue. You know what I'm saying? Like they sold this American couple and it just feels like, hey, well, this American rap couple, let me say this.
Okay. One of the kings of rap.
Let me not scare the MAGA community that may be tuned in for our sponsorship. The rap community. So, you know what I'm saying? They were being embraced. And so I just feel like they probably just wrote that shit up. Like, I mean, Love and Hip Hop is not only a show, but this shit is real life. Like, this shit is scripted.
I guess, man. But, I mean, it is what it is. I mean, I know you got a deal. We'll probably talk about it a little bit some more. But, yeah, it's is the album finna drop or can we? I mean, like, what are we doing?
Listen, according to sources, it was supposed to be Lemonade inspired. On that same live, she said that it's not Lemonade inspired. So,
for this,
you know, we don't know at this point. What Atlantic is throwing out with singles like WAP and all the other stuff, like, I don't really know what this sophomore album is going to sound like. I think she has to put it out though. Like, the reception is going to be the reception, but what, Invasion of Privacy came out, what, 2018? So we're about to hit, we're closing out 2020 at this point. We're in the fourth quarter. You missed Grammy deadline, so we know you're not doing it for the Grammys, and you want it. You want one of the major labels, like, you probably need this Grammy again. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I think Cardi is probably in her head that people are going to think that her new music is going to suck, but every artist has a sophomore slump. Not many really pull out that many sophomore projects that we remember. It's some. You're not saying it's not any, but it's some. But she just has to go out there and take the critiques and go into the lab and put out some more content. But we shall see. But best of luck to Belcalis and what's also his real name? Amiga.
Mr. Newman.
Mr. Carey.
Y'all won.
Look, culture daddy. Yeah.
Balls in my face.
My granny. All right.
All right, Tribbles later.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I think what makes this worse is like, I need to hear the album that Offset recorded before he got caught publicly cheating. Because I feel like that album was completely different. Like, whatever he planned on doing is totally different than what he actually put out. He didn't want to do that Father 444. That's not what he wanted to do.
Come on, man. Like, he didn't want that either.
Nobody was expecting that type of album from that rapper. Like, we know what you're about, dog. Like, we didn't, like, he had a, because I went back and listened to it. He's got the whole, like, he did the Instagram video that Kevin Hart did that I'm sure is still on his page, apologizing. I'm sorry for breaking God's promise and being, you know, unfaithful. You put that on your album. That's on your debut. That's not going anywhere. Whenever someone listens to your album, that is going to be there. It's there for life. And now you're getting a divorce, bro. Now you're getting a divorce. And I saw someone say this on Twitter. I'll Offset lost this one because Cardi B can find another Offset. Offset is not going to find another Cardi B. He's not. Cardi B is one of the biggest stars out right now. Offset is just a member of a B-list rap group. They're a really good rap group, but they're not outcast. Like, Cardi B could just snatch up Benny the Butcher and be fine. Offset is not snatching up Meg Thee Stallion or Nicki Minaj or Beyonce or any other high-end female. Like, he's not getting Lupita. He's not getting that. He's gonna end up with some unknown, unnamed, run-of-the-mill woman, and Cardi B can either. Now, you know what? I'm excited to see Cardi B single. Like, well, I need her to shoot for the stars. James Harden, what's
Migos,
up?
You say that the Migos man Offset, like, dog, Meg Thee Stallion, wasn't she with like Moneybagg Yo or one of them weird looking Simpsons character dudes? Like,
I think
he could pull a Meg Thee Stallion. Like, come on, that's disrespectful.
Offset?
I think he could pull it.
Okay, but
that was
a year or two ago. Megan Thee Stallion now? We're talking about Grammy Award winning artists. We're talking about number one singles making.
She was with the Canadian midget, dog. Like, come on.
But here's the thing. But if she wanted to
American.
Who do you think picked that? Whose idea you think that was? You think Tory Lanez was like, yeah, I'm about to go snatch that? Or Meg Thee Stallion was like, hey, young man, hey, little boy, come hang with me. Come ride my coattails. How you think that went?
I'm just saying. And again, they both might have won me because I'm not going to lie. Cardi B seems hella annoying. Like I said, like, it is for the best for both of them.
Hey, you know how annoying someone has to be for you to feel like, you know what? I know it's a global pandemic out there, but I need to get out of this house and get some pussy. Like, this ain't going to work for me.
Drop off some penis. pandemic. You know what I'm saying? Jif, what do you think? You've been mighty silent over there. Are you all right? Did you pass out?
No, I ain't pass out. I was letting Tribbles talk before she had to leave. This whole situation is just weird. Like, Tribbles says, it's weird. Like, he's been cheating this whole time. You said that you've accepted him cheating because who else are you going to find or something like that? Y'all remember she said that back in the day? She was just ranting and letting him cheat. So I do kind of think it's a baby situation going on, and it's going to come out. And she's probably right about that album. It's going to be like Lemonade-esque, and then he's going to have a baby all of a sudden, whatever, whatever. Or it could be a whole industry plant thing. Like, they got together as an industry thing. Because, I mean, they do that. Remember when Jordan Sparks and what was that dude? The Gemini guy got together? And he was like, it was a whole industry thing for us to get together and blah, blah, blah. So I don't know. I mean, it's weird, but I don't know. I mean, nobody didn't see this coming. I mean, who didn't see them eventually getting divorced?
I did. I said they should have never got married in the first place. Yeah. Matter of fact, let's play some audio from this podcast about a year ago. Hold on. Let's play this audio.
You motherfucking B. Cardi B talking.
Cardi gang.
Yelling.
Here we go.
Cardi B ignorant. Cardi B wilded. Cardi B single. So if y'all had the debate session, apparently she finally kept that same energy and cut Offset off because he got caught cheating again.
This is a year ago. This was recorded a year ago. Come on, man. Should have never happened. Why are y'all wasting each other's time? Like, okay, what? Okay, so for these magical industry hookups, what did they give us that was great enough for them to get married? Like, what did they give us? Like,
they took both of each other's careers to another level, being a power couple.
I don't agree with that. I think Cardi was on her way up.
It was the second favorite Migo, and even her being with him, like, it took them to another level. So if it was a plant, I mean, if she was with anybody else, she was at Benny the Butcher, would she be on Vogue? Would she be in all these places, taking all these pictures, doing all these things? It was the hottest male group at the time and the hottest female artist at the time. They merged. It was a power couple thing. And the rest is history.
Hey, man. Rolling Stones.
It was a power couple.
Rolling Stones proclaimed the Migos the three kings of hip-hop.
I mean, they were Grammy nominated. I mean, let's not act like the Migos weren't a big deal at that time.
I don't care about the Grammys, Doug. I don't.
And neither does Kanye. But I was here for the chaos. Like, I was here for the drama. I was here for the gender wars. Like, I was here for the, all right, so, you know, the custody battles. Is Cardi going to ask for child support, alimony payments? That's what I want. That's what I was looking forward to seeing. But apparently Cardi is just like, you know, they're not going to do that. They're just, I guess they signed a prenup. So we're not going to get any of the, fun stuff. So it's good for them on being mature, which kind of goes to Triple's point on it might be industry set up, you know, because it's just like, it seems super amicable. Like, there's, when you think of like Cardi B and how she just wilds out on Instagram Live at any given point, for her to just kind of be chill about this, it's just like, you know, maybe she's just that fed up, or she's just like, hey, this was part of the deal. Like, I'm not doing this anymore. But I feel like she was gonna blow it regardless. Like, she was on her way. Like, the machine was already behind her with Bodak Yellow and all that. So it was, that train had already left the station.
Shout out to Kodak Black. Anywho,
that nigga fumbles the bag so much. Jesus
Christ. Hey, man, he's got a great song that's on my playlist. It's called Vultures Cry 2. Love that shit. That shit is excellent. Definitely check that out. But yeah, it's definitely been a crazy week going down. Just kind of get off that real quick. To a couple of things that happened recently real quick. So I know everybody is aware of LeBron James, and some people might not be aware that he has some kids. So he has a son that's...
Oh, God. Are we going to talk about this?
Yo. Oh, I think the memes are so funny, man. So apparently, you know, LeBron James is confined to the bubble. And you know what they say, when the cat is away, the kittens will play. So LeBron James and wait, is he in the bubble too? Is Bronny's in the bubble wilding?
I don't think he is.
No, I think he's at home.
Okay,
no.
So Bronny is at home probably by himself. So I'm sure the wife and the baby is probably with LeBron.
I don't know. I haven't seen them.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen them in the family section. So.
Oh, shit. Okay, yeah, you're right. Shout out to Russell Westbrook. But yeah, man, so apparently Bronny was out here puffing that Denver Nuggets pack on the IG Live, blowing that loud, that Pacquiao, you know what I'm saying? And some section of Twitter seemed to have issue with this. Like, oh, look at LeBron James' son smoking weed, blah, blah, blah. He's a terrible dad. Oh, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, bruh. The funniest thing that I saw was like, why are these white people mad at LeBron James' son smoking weed when their kids do coke every Friday night? You know what I'm saying? Like,
And with them.
It's with weed. It's not like he was like doing heroin. He's a teenager who is rich, probably smoking the best weed of all time. We would, folks like us would never even dream of inhaling. So it just sounds like a lot of hate to me. Now, I already know that the right wing conservative media is going to have a field day with this and try to discredit everything about LeBron James attempting to be a leader in the community, talking about like, oh, well, you can't control this kid smoking weed, so why should we listen to him? So what I want to ask is, how do you punish a rich kid? Like, what do you think Bronny's punishment, if anything, is going to be? Because I'm like, what do you do? You take the keys to the Ferrari away? Like, I don't know. I don't know what you do. I don't have kids.
I don't know. I'm not rich, so I don't know how rich kids get punished. I guess you send them to the beach house.
I don't know. I ain't rich, but what's his wife's name? Savannah.
Mm-hmm.
Savannah probably gonna knock his ass out.
Oh, Savannah done been handled back.
Let's take it back to a couple of days before this, right? Now, this is why I say Bronny is wilding, all right? Because LeBron's in the bubble. We don't really see the boy on social media like that.
There's a video before with some white child.
That's what I'm talking about. First of all, this boy gets on social media or lets this little white girl put him on social media doing this bop it, whatever the hell she was doing.
Oh, I did see that.
And I was like, I was like, Bron, get the fuck out of the bubble. You need to go get your son from that white girl. Because we all know we're all black here. Okay, we know how the white girls are, especially with a rich black or potentially rich black person, male. Okay, we all know what happens. What happens? They try to trap them. Every time they try to trap them or they try to play the other card. We know, we've seen this happen. Remember the Duke lacrosse scandal. I think we all remember that whole situation. That and then the weed. I'm like, someone needs to wring his fucking neck. You might be rich as hell, but you are still a black child. Okay, one of them need to get their asses home and beat his ass. They need to do something. He needs to be in control. He's out of control with this social media. You are not on here like this when Bron is home. So why are you doing
this? He's on social media a lot. But that's the thing nowadays. Like, I try to think about like
white girl.
Not with the weed, but I mean, when he was younger, he probably wasn't into girls. He probably wasn't dating or anything. But now he's a little bit older. But it's just like I can only imagine what I would be like if I was 15 during the social media era. Like, I couldn't imagine having an iPhone with everything at my fingertips. The ability to go on Instagram Live and talk to everybody and do whatever I want and to tweet whatever I want because I'm feeling reckless or whatever. Like, and then you put on top of that, okay, my dad's LeBron James. My dad's got $100 million. I'm in fucking Calabasas. I got white bitches in my DM, like Instagram models trying to fuck with me. Like, and you gotta understand, he's at that age. He's 15 to 16. He's getting to that age where now I got a little bit of hair on my chest. He's a 6'2", 15-year-old boy. That man is feeling himself right now. I don't know how many followers he has on Instagram, but I bet it's close to over, 200,000. How many verified people do you think are following him? How many Instagram models do you think are following him? Like, if I was in that position, you're like, hey, and like you said, what do you do to a rich kid? What, are you going to spank him?
Knocking on his chest.
Yeah,
make an effort when I want LeBron.
But it's just like, I mean, I just don't want to. I don't want to go like super hard on this kid because it's just like he's a 15, 6-year-old kid.
But pause.
I'm gonna give him. Here's my thing. You can't do that. I give him that. Like, you can't be on Instagram. You can't be on any social media smoking weed. You just can't because you know who your dad is. You know what you are as a black kid in America, living where you live at. We know that, but it's just not fair because what was George Bush's daughters wilding out in college? Like, but they had the ability to just do that, and no one really cared that much. But if they had Instagram back then, it would have been different.
As well, pause real quick. You said Bronny had 200,000 followers.
He at least 200,000 followers.
Try 5.6 million.
Jesus Christ! Jesus Christ! How do you
I hope his mom has a password because I know there's some wild
shit in his DMs. How do you expect this kid to be? No, like it's a miracle he got to 16, and this is the worst thing he's ever done publicly. Like, if I was 15, 16, I got 5 million followers. And my dad's LeBron James, and I'm set for life. I'd be acting an ass on Twitter or on Instagram, a straight ass, man.
I think all that's gonna happen. His dad is gonna sit him down, have a talk with him. You know, hey son, just don't do this on social media. This is how you handle yourself on social media. Keep all that stuff in house, and then he'll probably do like a movie that came out in '88 when Eddie Murphy's character got in trouble with his father, and his punishment was to be sent to be scrubbed vigorously by three fine women, butt naked in a big, huge tub. So that's all that's going to happen. It's not going to be much of nothing. Because what can you do? And then, like we said, I mean, we talk about how famous LeBron is, which, of course, he is really famous. Bronny is really famous on his own, too, because of being a basketball player as well, being LeBron James' son. He's guaranteed to be a lottery pick. You know, just the only thing, I mean, we were all 15 and 16. I don't know what you guys did. We all experimented with different things, so I'm not going to scold them. Even if it wasn't marijuana, it was still some type of cigarette or something, and we know it's illegal. But
tight too.
He said it's called nuggets.
But that's, yeah. But that's what comes with being a part of LeBron James's bubble. Like I was watching the Lakers destroy the Nuggets the other day, and it's just like no matter what LeBron does, he always has to be on. He's always being watched. There's never a moment where he is not having to, you know, put out there that, hey, I'm LeBron. Like, he's always being watched. He's always being recorded. There's probably maybe one or two times that he's walked into a room and everybody's not paying attention to him. And that's been that for him since he was 16. Every time he walks into a room, hey, that's LeBron. That's LeBron. Let's see what he does. And that's a lot of pressure. So I'm not expecting his kid who's grown up on social media to be perfect. Like, and I get like this, we drop our episodes on Tuesday. Right now it's Saturday. By the time this episode drops, we will not be talking about this Bronny situation. It'll be blown over. Something else will happen probably by Sunday, whatever. And it's a good thing this happened on Friday, because now we got football back. Something will happen on Sunday and we'll forget all about this.
Yes, actually something else happened almost immediately after that. Apparently, this verified Twitter account, right-wing watch, this right-wing conspiracy, say that 10 times fast, there is Sheila Zielinski warns that LeBron James is an, quote, Illuminati wizard who is, quote, conjuring up demons before every game by tossing chalk into the air. So let's check this out.
Is LeBron James just an athlete? Well, I believe this expose, we're going to take a little dive into what I believe is quite frightening. Now, here you're going to see this chalk ritual toss, what the sports world calls it a chalk toss, but it's simply disguised for what he's really doing. High-level conjuring, a spell, an incantation from this Illuminati wizard where he's summoning demons. I believe he's conjuring up demons before every game. Plain and simple. Really take a look at these so-called chalk tosses. It is very frightening.
Oh my God.
What he does. I mean, putting his hands up, these Baphomet-style dragon demons appear. Is LeBron James just an F?
Yo.
He's conjuring up the Monstars. Is that what he's doing? Getting the Monstars ready?
Yo. I am, like, again, like, when I was talking about Kanye pissed on the Grammy, you talk about 2020, like, that's not even top, like, 50 wildest things. This might be the top 10 wildest things I've seen or heard in 2020. Like, really? This is where we have come, to the point where in year 17, we are now discovering that he has been doing high-level Illuminati rituals in front of us the entire time. Like, really? And the thing that had me dying was initially the first comment that was on there was that, where is it at? The first comment that I saw under that post that somebody posted that had me cracking up was this dude named Ricky Smith says, so you're telling me he can conjure up demons, but he can't grow his hairline back.
Jesus Christ.
Like, come on, man. Like,
make it make sense.
Yeah, man, like, didn't like Michael Jordan do that? Like, this isn't a new like thing. This has been, people have been doing this before, if I'm not mistaken. The whole chalk toss.
That's just like when you're LeBron James, everything you do is scrutinized. Everything.
But I mean, why now though? Like,
hey, the check cleared. When that sounded like a black person that said that.
So, but between being like one of the greatest NBA players of all time, raising a family, fighting for social justice, shooting movies. When does he have time to perfect these Illuminati wizard incantations? I feel like you just don't toss the chalk. Like, you have to do practice for this, meet up with people, maybe have an Illuminati wizard trainer. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't wake up and start summoning demons. You know what I'm saying? There's levels to this. And just the thought that LeBron James would be the greatest Illuminati wizard summoner of all time is incredible. Twitter is undefeated. People, the stupidity of people is undefeated. It blows my mind. Hit the stupidity.
Okay, I just pulled up another video, and there's like another video of Bronny like cursing, saying these bitches ain't got no heart. So what is wrong with
that? His parents ain't home, so he's acting out.
It's not that serious.
He's 15. He's 15.
No, they need to get him together.
He's 15 with $100 million in the bank.
Unless LeBron got that fuck them kids contract with his kids, like Jordan did.
Bronny's going to the NBA. Bronny's going to the NBA. He'll be all right. He's gonna be fine.
So shout out to the Illuminati wizards out there conjuring up demons.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth and whoever else. Who them other old people that should be dead but still aren't? All the people in England. Jerry Jones.
One of them princes definitely, because he looks like the Crypt King.
Yeah, he looks one like that thing from
stuff like
what's that thing from the Marvel movie with the hair that was flying through the thing, it was fucking people up. What's that thing? That thing with Thanos. Remember, it was them three things. The one that was just on the hoverboard.
Dark Order, whatever it was called.
Yeah, the one that was on like the hoverboard with the hair. That's what he looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Facts. Wow. Yeah, it's definitely interesting times out here. just stay woke, you know what I'm saying? Keep the Illuminati demons away from you. But I would like to personally say this might be it for me and Sony. I might be done with PlayStation. Like,
what?
With their piss poor pre-order rollout, I might be switching my allegiance back to Xbox.
Gang.
This shit is absurd. This is absurd. Like, how to check my email and it's like, oh, pre-orders for the PlayStation 5 are now up. Bruh, come on, dog. Like, people work, people busy. I don't check my email. I don't have special alerts for Sony. You know what I'm saying? Like, now I have to try to harass people to try to get a pre-order. And I'm just like, you know what? Fuck them kids. I might be done with PlayStation. I might be Team Xbox.
Guys, as someone that worked at GameStop for almost 10 years, I'm going to go ahead and say that first initial rollout of new systems, those aren't the ones you want. those are the ones that are most likely to get broken. They haven't got all the kinks figured out yet. The only new game you're going to get is NBA 2K with more sweat. Like, just wait. Wait for the second wave, because I'm telling you, you don't want to be the person with the very first PlayStation 5, because that shit ain't going to last, because they ain't got it figured out yet. That thing ain't programmed to run for fucking 6 hours a day like you run this PlayStation 4. It ain't built for that yet. They ain't really testing it out like that, because these niggas, like, I know I'd be on Call of Duty for like 3 hours at a time, and I know these other niggas be on Call of Duty for 12 hours. That PS5 ain't ready for that kind of work. So just wait a minute. Just wait a few months. You're not missing nothing. What, you're gonna play 2K21 again? It's already out.
How am I gonna stunt on the timeline
What exclusive game are they putting out with the PS5? Because that's usually the selling point with these games. Like with the Xbox, it was like Halo. With PlayStation, it would be like Metal Gear Solid. What is the exclusive game that they're coming out with the PlayStation 5 right now? They don't have one.
Let's see.
What is it?
I think the Spider-Man comes out with the Miles Morales, but it's literally the same game, just with Miles Morales.
So nigger Spider-Man is what you need to pay $500 for. You're paying $500 for the dark-skinned Spider-Man? All right, guys. We can wait a couple of months, because a lot of people didn't play that first Spider-Man. So
actually, the first Spider-Man was actually
good. I heard it was actually really good.
Yeah. Except somebody told me it was like the best game that PlayStation ever made. I ain't got time for that. But yeah, I mean, you're right. I know that too. Like, I'm probably going to get both at some point, maybe. But like, honestly, as far as PlayStation goes, like, I really only play Madden, and I'm kind of done with Call of Duty. So like, if I get an Xbox, I can play Halo, which I think is a better game, has a better campaign, and the multiplayer is better.
Are they coming out with a new Halo?
Yes. Go look up those trailers. That shit looks lit. Like, I am excited for that. It's supposed to be like an open world.
The Xbox, the base one is going to be $299, so it's a little bit more affordable too.
And they also let us know what time the pre-order is going to start. They start, I believe, the 22nd at 8 p.m. Pacific time. So I can actually get in front of my computer, phone, or whatever device I'm going to use and attempt to get a pre-order. So,
with Halo, when are we going to finally beat that big old person we've been trying to beat this whole time? I'm tired of trying to fight him. Like, damn, can we end it and, like, move on to the next? Like, I'm tired. I'm just sick of it. I just buy Halo, and I'm still trying to fight the same guy the whole time, and we never get to it. I just want to end it and then get to fighting somebody else.
Like, I'm not gonna lie, I have no clue what the storyline is anymore, but I do enjoy the multiplayer. And again, I switched over from Xbox to PS to PlayStation because all my friends had it, but like, Call of Duty is too ridiculous, man. Like, oh, I got 36 attachments on my gun so I can shoot it better than you. Like, dog, Halo, everybody got the same guns. There's like 3 power weapons that can shift the battle of the game. It's pretty much even across the board. It's like, oh, I got this pistol is golden with diamonds and 18 scopes. Like, I don't got time for that, dog. Let me get this rocket launcher. Let me put in some work with the sniper rifle. And let me bash your head in with the butt of my gun. Like, that's what I want to do. And I like the campaign. You put that shit on legendary, I'm gonna get my money's worth. So I think I might make my return to the Xbox. I'm seriously debating that because I couldn't secure a PlayStation. So fuck.
Oh, yeah. And the bots. You got to fight the bots too.
Yeah, man.
People, everything.
Call of Duty just be cheating for no reason. Just like, bruh, is your life that miserable? You need to come and cheat on a game to get some kills, dog. Like, come on, bruh. I don't got time for that. And they're fucking. They take too much space up on the damn hard drive too. Like, them downloads take like 3 hours for the updates. I ain't got time for that. So, shout out to Xbox, Microsoft. If you want to sponsor the podcast, slide in my DMs. And I become an Illuminati wizard and, you know, sell my soul. So, dope the X, kind of forever. But, yeah, what are y'all planning on doing? Do y'all have any aspirations getting a PlayStation or Xbox? Or what are we doing in the streets?
Unless they start upgrading this gameplay for their games. Like, and this isn't just a PlayStation and Xbox. This is just most games across the board. Especially sports games like Madden. Madden has mailed it in for the last 10 years. I don't know why people keep paying $60 for that. NBA 2K.
I played it one time.
Yeah, the NBA 2K is kind of falling off the map with their gameplay. And it's just like, at some point, the graphics are going to be what they are. Like, there are plenty of games that you can find for, like, you know, the Nintendo 64, the PlayStation 2. The GameCube, that don't have the greatest of graphics. Like, graphically, special effects aren't on the level of a PlayStation 3 or 4 or even, you know, PlayStation 5 or the new Xbox. But their gameplay is elite. The storyline is elite. The game modes are elite. Like, you can put on GoldenEye from Nintendo 64 and rock that shit and have a good time with that. Or Mario Kart or Star Fox, Metal Gear Solid. The original Halo 2. There's a lot of these older games that are, you wonder, like, why did I love these games so much that look like this? You look at these games, you're like, man, this game looks terrible, but it's not about how it looks. Like, it matters, but it doesn't matter that much. Like, you put on Super Mario World for Super Nintendo, that shit is fun as fuck.
Yeah, they need to put it on the Switch, man. I know they're about to have, I think, the 35th anniversary of Mario, so they're going to put Mario 64 on the Switch, Mario Galaxy, but yeah, they need to put Super Mario World on the Switch. Like, I definitely, they have, like, Zelda on the Switch, like, Mario on there, dog. Like, stop half-stepping, but yeah, I mean, I'm curious, man, because again, there's going to be a certain point where you're going to reach, like, the acme of technology, like, well, I guess until you get to, like, the Striking Vipers level of technology, then I guess
that's Nexus I'm waiting on. When that system comes out, I will upgrade. But until then, I'll stick with the PS4.
Oh my god! Shout out to Black Mirror. They need to drop another season too, man. Like,
no, we're living in the season right now. That's how real. Yeah. We're in it. We're in the mid season right now.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, I'll probably eventually. It's in the air. I might go Xbox this time because it is $100 cheaper. But whatever I'm gonna do, I'm gonna wait till maybe Christmas and pick it up. That the second wave should be out about then, maybe right before Christmas, and that'll be pretty much it. I mean, I'm not in a rush. I only play like the same games, and it's kind of like what you said. I mean, what's the point of being in a rush to spend money to play Grand Theft Auto 5 for the third consecutive system? Like,
been playing. I want to stun on these hoes. I'm gonna put two PlayStation on my head like a sandwich, and get these likes and retweets off. That's what I want to do.
I don't even have a 4K TV yet, so I can't even get the full benefits. You know, I just have a 3D TV. So,
oh, 4K.
Yeah, I don't have a 4K yet because you know the game system's in 4K. So,
oh, I didn't even know that. Shit. Well, what the fuck am I gonna get it for? If I don't get a 4K TV, like,
I mean, it'll work. It's just to get the full scope of everything that's going on, you need like a 4K or a 5K. I don't even have that. So it's like,
that's what I'm like. Now I want to get both like next year. Cause I'm not going to get it this year. I don't know what's happening in this world. So I'm wait till next year, but yeah, I want the full scope. Like, I want my whole money's worth, but I don't even have a fucking 4K TV. So that's what I'm like, what the fuck's the point? Unless we're going to go steal at Costco. Like, can we loot Costco so I can get a 4K TV? Like, we looted Target. I'm still mad that nobody has looted Target while I've been in there so I can get a fucking air fryer and all the other Ninja appliances. Like, y'all suck. I just want everybody to know that. Every time I go to Target, I wait for people to start looting, and y'all assholes never do.
No comment. Shout out to Breonna Taylor's family getting that $12 million settlement, but they still want the officers to be prosecuted, so I guess continue to say her name.
This is why they need to change the defund the police slogan. They need to change it to something else because that $12 million that is rightfully going to that family, what else could that go to? Because the city, the civilians of that city, they are paying for that. Mm-hmm. So instead of it going to school or education reform or building places for kids to safely play or to create jobs, it's going to that family. Rightfully so. That family deserves that money. But when people talk about defunding the police and all that stuff, they are trying to take that money and prevent senseless killings like that from happening and having that money allocated to something. And I don't want to say more useful because that family is going to need that money because they probably got a long like court battle with them with that department. But imagine what that $12 million could do for that city.
Yeah. Yeah. And shout out to the people that continue to mindlessly ignore the slogan, knowing damn well they know what it means. Like, you're not that obtuse. Yeah, I mean, again, people have corrected it, but I mean, I think it's one of the things where a lot of young people are getting involved with the movement. And they're very excitable. And because it's easy to say and it's an easy phrase, it becomes the marquee, becomes the main point. But in the subtext, it's like, yo, this is what this actually means. And people are educated and smart enough to know that. They just choose to ignore it because mad people tell them this. And they're just like, yo, the police. Okay. Every single week, I can pull up a police video of them violating people. But, you know what I'm saying, back to blue, all that nonsense. So, but
that's what comes when people just click the headline and don't read the article.
That is true. But a quick pivot, real quick. Lupe Fiasco's first album, Food and Liquor, dropped. It's about the 14-year anniversary. Shout out to Lupe. Real quick, what's your favorite song on that album?
Well, I guess can we just say that Lupe Fiasco is one of the more underrated artists of his era, and he probably has more classic albums than your favorite rapper for the most part. Like, he's a lot of rappers don't have like multiple classics, and he definitely has that. Food and Liquor. I mean, there's a lot of good songs on it. It's kind of hard to really narrow it down to. Obviously, Kid Push is a good one. I really like He Say, She Say. That's pretty elite storytelling. The Cool only works if you listen to the next album, to where you hear like part two to it. And really, The Cool? Wow.
I do not like The Cool. Do not like it.
American Terrorist is really good too. So if you haven't heard it, I mean, it came out, when did it come out? In 2006.
KJ, if you haven't heard the album.
Yeah, KJ definitely has not heard this album, but Lupe Fiasco has at least two classic albums, and that's a lot more than most rappers can say. So he's in my top 10 for sure.
I'll go with Just Might Be Okay. That's the one I rock with. I like the production on that. Shout out for Pharrell for producing another questionable song for a rapper, but that's, I got to make that list of bad, poorly produced
bad Pharrell songs.
Yeah, I got to make that list. This shit is out of control. But
my bad. My favorite on that one is Hurt Me So. That's one of my favorites.
This album's so good.
Yes, it is a great album. KJ,
classic album. I will say that. It's classic.
Yep, KJ, it's called strategic marketing. Black Lives Matter at this point isn't anything that invokes emotion. There's still some white people that are mad about it, but I think that they're just mad just to be mad. Like, but now it's really safe to say Black Lives Matter. They need to take it to the next level, to be honest. Like, I don't know what that is, but I mean, I don't know what the NFL is attempting to do, but it's really sad that even with their attempt to pander, the message is still being washed by players like Villanueva and Tyler Eifert, who plays for Mr. Savage's Jaguars. But, you know, you got two whole holidays to shout out the vets, but Villanueva wants to be an asshole. And I hate that people give him a pass because he's one of the troops and he was in the military, so he can literally do no wrong. But, like, dude, the military and the NFL are similar
He was a Ranger. Let's give him that respect.
Okay. Anyways, so the military and the NFL are the same. It's like the NFL is known to have a militaristic nature, right? You can't just do whatever you want whenever you want to. Like, if everybody did whatever they wanted on every play, nothing would be accomplished. You're supposed to move in sync. You're supposed to move as a unit, as a crew. Now, as a team, as the NFL, they had the initiative that, hey, we're going to wear these names on our helmets. So this dude just decides to go rogue and put a mangly piece of tape of another name on the back of his helmet, bringing less attention to the person that actually died and more attention to himself. But the thing is, he wants that attention, but doesn't actually want to explain his motives, because he can hide behind the fact that, like, oh, I was in the military. This was a military person that died, who was honored, by the way. And again, that is his job. He died in the line of duty. That is his job. He was already honored, and he wasn't a victim of systematic racism or oppression. You know what I'm saying? You have 2 whole months, or you have 2 days, Veterans Day and Memorial Day, to do that. So if on Veterans Day I decide to talk about people killing dogs, that's going to be a problem. You know what I'm saying? So it's really sad that he hijacked the narrative for himself along with Tyler Eifert, when there's clearly an initiative for specific reasons. But again, it's like one of those things where people were starting to kind of kill the costume inside. Like, Pouncey was the same way. He's like, oh, you know, I didn't hear the whole story, which I agree the NFL could have did a better job. But regardless of what may have transpired, police are not judge, jury, and executioner. They do not get to decide who gets to live and who gets to die. That's not their job. So,
and I feel like,
who's the ultimate goon at Florida, like, he really has no room to talk about people's prior history. So go Google that.
I feel like the people that are kind of like applauding these two guys for, you know, putting military people on their, not military and like former cops on their helmets, are the same type of people. Cause I grew up watching Randy Moss play football. I grew up watching Allen Iverson play basketball. And I know how people talked about those two guys as being, oh, you guys are me guys. You want to be individuals. You want to do your own thing. You don't put the team first, blah, blah, blah. People would, you know, say those things about those two guys. But on the other hand, you want to uplift these two guys for doing the exact opposite. Like they literally had team meetings about this. This wasn't something that was decided an hour before game time. Like, hey guys, we're putting this on the back of our helmets. Make sure you stay in with us. This is something that's been talked about for weeks. This is week one of the NFL, so they've had weeks and months to do this. And the day of, you decide to be an individual. You decide to go, and most of the players didn't even know that it happened, because like you're not really looking at the back of your teammate's helmet like that. So a lot of the players on their teams didn't even know that. So they decided to go out and be an individual, go out there and give the same energy you gave Randy Moss for mooning the fans or having an afro, or Allen Iverson having tattoos and wearing a headband and having his hair braided during a halftime game. Like, go give them that same energy, but you're not going to because you don't really care.
And we've seen what type of person the villain of the waiver was, because when his team decided instead of kneeling, they were going to sit inside the locker room, he was the same guy that came out and didn't he like stand by a flag or something like that? He's so patriotic that he couldn't even stand by his teammates. Like, that's just the kind of character that he is. And the one thing that I hate that sometimes people do, they strategically picked two brothers
mm-hmm.
who were slain. So then you can't say that they're racist, because they'll say, no, well, I'm still representing the black people, but that has nothing to do with oppression, systematic racism, or anything like that. Like, why are you going rogue in this situation? You could have chosen any other week to honor those people, but you did it because you didn't want to do what everybody else wanted to do. You wanted to support your own cause. And in a way, you wanted to slap any Black Lives Matter movement in the face. Like, you just, hey, fuck it. You know, I want to support the military and I'm going to support police. So that's what we're doing here. Fuck the NFL. And I feel like they should be called out. I feel like they should be punished for it as well, and made an example out of it. I actually hope the Jaguars cut Tyler Eifert. Like, he's an injury prone dude anyway. He's trash. Who cares? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And it's crazy that you say that with the whole using the race thing. And as far as their platform, which people got mad at Cap for using his platform to make a statement, which they're doing the same thing, going rogue, but also they care about the troops. Like, it's convenient when they choose to do things like this, because I don't ever see these people talking about this in their regular daily lives.
But let me ask you this. We've all lived in big cities our entire life. How many times have you seen veterans and these troops out on the streets, poor, begging for food, acting crazy?
All the time.
Where are these people in that care so much about the troops?
Yeah, I haven't heard Villanueva say one thing about Vanessa Guillen or the other like 30 people that have died at Fort Hood. Like, he was in the army.
Yep.
But now all of a sudden you care about this black dude, this black troop that died in the line of duty back in 2005. So like, do you care or do you not care? Or you just care enough when it's, you care when it is in a way to deflect the message of black lives. Marcus, so,
just real quick, this is way off topic, but I'm watching the Heat Celtics game. They just had a commercial break sponsored by TikTok. Isn't TikTok done? Like, what's going on here?
Oh, wait, I've seen it says Trump administration delays TikTok curb falling concept deal between Oracle and Walmart. So I guess.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, I was like, how did they get on on an ESPN platform? Like, how are they able to do commercials?
I'm not gonna lie. 45 needs to cancel TikTok, but that's another conversation for another day.
Yeah, but for people like Villanueva, who just like, they cannot stand with their teammates, they just feel so obligated to stand for the national anthem no matter what. I want someone to just play the national anthem for this guy randomly, like just at any point where he's in line at Jimmy John's, or he's out at the park with his family, and just kind of walk up behind him and just play it on their phone and see what he does. Are you going to stand and put your hand over your heart no matter where that song is played, since it moves you so much? Like, if you're at the gym and I start playing it behind you, you're going to stand up and put your hand over your heart? These people that complain about these players not standing for the national anthem, how many of you guys are standing up in your house putting your beer down, putting your nachos down, and standing up and putting your hand over your heart during the national anthem at home. How many of you guys are doing that? Because I don't think you are. And if you are, you're lying. Well, if you are, you're crazy. Because that's ridiculous. Like, what's the last time anybody in this chat, anybody that's listening, anybody on this podcast, when's the last time you said the Pledge of Allegiance? Honestly, when's the last time you said it?
Probably 94, 93, 92, maybe. I don't know.
It's ridiculous. I can't remember the last time I said it.
Yeah, and I hope the media, shout out to Bomani Jones, he actually kind of called him out in his Outside the Lines interview, but I feel the media should be more responsible. Every time there's a mic in his face, they need to be asking him, like, yo, why did you feel like this was the time to dissent, you know what I'm saying, go against the ranks, to step out of line?
And like I said, he's done it before. Like, he,
you know what I'm saying? Like, he's had a whole Veterans Day and Memorial Day to do this. So why was now so special?
Why don't you do this? Why don't you donate a game check or two for some PTSD fund or for some wounded warrior fund or do something like that, you know? Like, really put your money where your mouth is and stop using the military as some status quo when you need it. Because like I said, even the point where your team agreed to stay inside the locker room, you had to crawl your fat ass out here and stand in the tunnel way because it was breaking your heart. You couldn't stand for the flag. When we've been to games before, when the shit comes on, I go get a beer. Like, who cares? You know what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah, go to DC. DC got, like, if I'm not mistaken, it's got the biggest population of homeless vets in DC, but every time you walk on DC streets, all you see is homeless veterans. Go scoop them up and put them in housing, give them jobs, you know, a permanent place to stay, all that shit. Like, if you ain't doing that, shut the fuck up. Like, get them fucking, they need drug rehab and fucking a whole bunch of intensive therapy, but we don't see you doing that shit, helping out the vets that actually need help. Hell.
Imagine if you had $12 million, what you could do with that $12 million.
Shout out to KJ. He said when Cap first protested, they was yelling at students at his high school for not standing during the pledge. Like, are we like China? Like, what are we doing here? But anywho, my thing is to wrap up the villain Nueva point. My thing is, if somebody made the point, one of the dudes on Twitter, he made the point, like, yo, if you love the military so much, why are you not still there? Like, I feel like if you're healthy enough to play in the NFL, then you should be healthy enough to still be in the military, correct? So if you love it that much and it means that much to you, why did you let it go?
Because you didn't love it that much.
The people that seem to love the military the most have never served. Never.
You have.
Like, not even like ROTC.
Like, legit. Like, you ain't even lying right there. That is, you were right on, you hit the nail on the head with that, Marcus.
Yep.
The NFL is pretty much a recruitment tool for the military. Like, all these NFL fans, like, the NFL is geared towards, what, 18 to 35-year-old men? That's just old enough for you to put your time in, serve your country. You're in the stands yelling at people to stand for the anthem. Why don't you go downstairs? There's a recruiter at that stadium somewhere. There's a recruiting officer everywhere. You know a recruiting officer. You know you can find one. You feel that serious about it?
Oh, my God, are you serious?
What happened?
This nigga's from the same hometown as me.
Who?
Villanueva? Alejandro Villanueva.
He's from Meridian?
Yes,
601, stand up.
AMI, Crickle.
Well, that definitely makes sense because he's obviously a racist. It's a racist town.
Well, with that, the racist anti-patriotic podcast is back. Y'all got any shout outs before we roll out? What the heck? Yeah. Actually, like, real quick, let's see. Jif, are we going to win tomorrow or what? We are in week. it's week two, and we are already in a must-win game. Extremely sad and very.
Let me tell y'all something.
Oh my God!
The Falcons are fucked. I don't see no hope for no winning this year. You know, let me just do this real quick. Any Falcons fans listening to this, shout out to y'all for listening, first of all. Second of all, fuck that organization for sending out custom jerseys to people like Stephen A. Smith, Trey, who else got a custom jersey? All these people got custom jerseys before the people who actually paid for their jerseys back in April got them. So as you can see, they don't give a fuck about us. And then they hire two coaches that don't know how to do their job and who admit to not being prepared for players on the opposite team, like Russell Wilson's pass game. How the fuck don't you be prepared for fucking Russell Wilson, a top five quarterback passing game, you raggedy, ugly motherfucker? I fucking hate you. I hate Quinn. I hate the OC and Arthur Blank. You need to fire these fuckers before I come up and find you, okay? I will give you an early. Okay, let me not say that.
That is what I like to call black privilege. Because they were like, oh, this nigga can't throw. He's a black quarterback. We know them dudes can't throw the ball. And, you know, just like Josh, he was proven wrong. So,
good for Russell. And he's a black defensive coordinator.
That's what makes it worse. Jesus Christ, Raheem.
He was an offensive coordinator, too. So who knows? I don't know. I don't know what Atlanta's doing anymore.
Yeah, I don't know what we're doing. I'm watching for fun now. For the enjoyment of the sport.
They should have fired their coach 3 years ago.
I'm seeing hella Falcons fans talk about, hey, yo, the Falcons better win tomorrow. The Falcons better win tomorrow. And I'm like, or what?
Right.
Like, and then, you know what? When they had the opportunity to lose and get, you know, an all-world player, they win games. Like, what are you doing?
Exactly. They decided to win six games straight. Like,
they had Chase Young in their hands. Man, he looked like a freaking monster out there.
He looks so good.
Or they could have got, because everybody was saying that they wanted CJ Henderson from us. He was the defensive rookie of the week. He looked like a stud.
Kinlaw.
They won anyway. They just didn't get him.
They won five extra games for no reason. And it's like, I get it. Hey, I understand. You don't want to be 0-2. Nobody wants to be 0-2. The Colts are 1-0 or 0-1. They could be 0-2. But to say, like, oh, the Falcons better win, and if they don't, they're going to be 0-2, like, you're not going nowhere. You survived 28-3. If you're still here 3 years later, you ain't going nowhere off an 0-2 start. So go ahead and get comfortable, Falcons fan, because y'all ain't going nowhere. Y'all are loyal. It's time. You guys are loyal.
Well, then also, this is the wrong season to suck, man. Like, we're not going to get a real – we're not getting a true, like, college season, man. And then, like, if – things are the way they are because people like to be dirty and not wear masks and not wash their hands. We're probably not going to get like a real legitimate combine. I don't know if they're going to be able to have all those people in there to get these people measured. So, I mean, it kind of makes sense now why the Seahawks traded those two first for Jamal Adams. Because as you can see, he was a one-man wrecking crew. Like, if he plays like he played against Atlanta, against every other team, he is easily an MVP candidate. That man single-handedly destroyed our team. For no reason. It was embarrassing. So I get why Seattle pulled that, because that's probably going to be a surefire bet versus whatever we're getting in the draft, at least this year. Because I don't even know who the top guy is outside of, like, Trevor Lawrence. Like, but I mean, it is what it is. I hope we win. I'm not making no more predictions because
it's not a decent that's supposed to be all world talent. I forgot who it is. I have to look it up. But they're saying if Cincy loses out, they're either going to get this DN or this offensive tackle.
They need to get a tackle. They need to get mad offensive lineman for Joey Burrow.
But anyway, I got to roll out. So thank y'all for having me on, as always. 30 pounds down, less than 30 days. I'm at your boy. Thank you.
Peace. The Colts. Some people are picking the Colts to win. I don't know.
I mean, they picked us to win last week. We got we lost because we have a 38-year-old quarterback that threw two interceptions. Like, that game was a lot closer than that. Well, the game was obviously a one-score game, but if it's a one-score game and you have two turnovers and they score 10 points of it, like, that's how you lose right there. So,
oh, yeah.
Play clean football. Like, it's football is not that complicated. Like, win the battle. Like, the keys to the game. Like, if you start to show off with what are the keys to the game, that's a guaranteed I'm turning it off. Win the battle in the trenches. Don't turn the ball over. Ball control. And be efficient. Control the clock. Like, it's the same. There's nothing new. The keys to the game are always the same. They've been the same for the last 30 years. Stop asking me what the keys to the game are.
Facts.
Facts. All right. Well, yeah, this is KTS.